Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Logie. Say hi to the good people, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, so this episode is going to be for February 28th, 2026, and by the time we are doing this, we are not officially at war, but we are at war, for lack of a better term. We'll go into more of the details on it, but basically, Israel decided to do a preemptive strike on Iran, and the U.S. decided to get in on that because never wanted to miss a conflict with Iran. The overall, the results are still coming in. It's all sort of happening as we speak. We'll be talking a little bit about that and sort of all the things we know of right now. But we do have some other stuff that happened this week, including losing another actor with one unique resume, some more news from the Winter Olympics, some really kind of just odd news from NASA, and some shit going down with the Pentagon. And, of course, we've got our, weekly bit of the entertainment stuff, including the ongoing saga with who's going to be buying Warner Brothers Discovery. But before we get to all of that, before we do any of that stuff, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do what we always do, what's just tradition, start off talking about all the things we've been doing up to this point this week. And as also as tradition, we start with Chris. Chris, tell us, what have you been doing this week?
Yeah, I've been dealing with work and all that. We've had some nice weather for the most part. Been warm the last couple days, so melted a lot of that, so we've been pretty good as of today. But we're supposed to go back down under freezing, so
yeah, that works here. It's gonna be pretty cold down here too tonight before it shoots back up.
So yeah, there's that. Things I've been watching. I ended up watching Asteroid City, the Wes Anderson movie that sure was different than I was thinking. It's presented as a play of a sort that is called Asteroid City, and as like they're describing things, like Bryan Cranston is kind of the narrator of this play who introduces scenes and whatnot. It's kind of it blows up from like the stage that they kind of keep going back to an actual, little town that it's set in, which is essentially like a town where this asteroid crashed into the Earth 5,000 years ago. And is also near where they are doing atom bomb tests. So
yeah,
off in the desert somewhere. Kind of just keeps shooting around at these different storylines. As you expect, a lot of the cast is, Jason Schwartzman is kind of one of the main characters who has sort of stopped in this town because his vehicle has some issue with it. That and in the process, his wife had passed recently. But had not told his kids about that. So kind of is forced to do that while he's waiting for his father-in-law to come by and pick him up. And then there's a whole thing that the military has this whole Asteroid City event here where students bring their science experiment things to show off and all this weird little presentation. But then in the middle of that, an alien shows up and takes the asteroid and all that kind of weird stuff. And there's other storylines. There's Scarlett Johansson, who's an actress from that time period that's kind of gets infatuated with Jason Schwartzman's character. What else is there? There's Steve Carell runs the motel, is dealing with all of that stuff, and yeah, there's a ton of people in this, some that just show up for literally seconds. Yeah, Willem Dafoe's in there for like maybe 20 seconds total. Jeff Goldblum's in there for like 5 seconds. Ton of people. But it's a pretty fun movie about all this. And yeah, like it's a play written by who is it here? Edward Norton's character, who's like a legendary playwright that is occasionally dealing with the notion of writing this play and trying to figure out how it's gonna go and all that. And Adrien Brody plays the director in charge of whatever they're doing there. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here, and it's a pretty neat movie. So that's one to check out, of all the Wes Anderson stuff there. So then I was watching a number of Bond movies on Netflix. They got a bunch of them, if not all of them. I was watching the Craig ones. Casino Royale still holds up really well for that stuff. What's the next one after that? I think it's Quantum of Solace, which was fine. It's not really all that interesting. It starts introducing this whole huge corporation that's behind the bad stuff going on. And then from there is let me see what the other ones are. Watched almost all of the Craig ones. Let's see. Yeah, Skyfall, which was good. Also still kind of feeds into that narrative, overall narrative of the bad guys, but involving, a former Bond, 009, I think it is, played by Javier Bardem, which was a good villain for that. And then they go into the last one I've seen here, which is Spectre, which was all right. Kind of continues on the whole, there's this whole big organization, like the Le Chiffre and all the other bad guys from the previous movies are in, called Spectre. And Daniel Craig's, deals with all of that stuff as they try to merge the MI group with the whatever other British government organization there. Because the opening sequence is pretty good. James Bond basically blows up a bunch of Mexico City and all that, and yeah, kind of a whole fun bit there. But then you realize the guys taking over MI6 are the bad guys, trying to do this whole world espionage kind of thing, like a surveillance kind of thing, mass surveillance system that they're creating and all that. And yeah, so that's a fun whole thing. I have not watched the last one, Time Only Dies, whatever the fuck that thing is called. No Time to Die, I think it is. I've not seen that one yet, but I probably will sometime this week. But yeah, that's the one they made because they couldn't find a better Bond yet. Like, I was still figuring out who's gonna be the new Bond. Still are. There's like a huge delay there. It's about 6 years between those, and now we're at 5 years since that, and they still haven't figured out what they want to do. So that's fun. But those are all pretty good, but Skyfall and Casino Royale are the top of those. And all that, so yeah. But they got a bunch of the other ones too, so I might check those out. I've never really seen any of those old Bond movies. Just never interested in them really. But those are things I've been watching. For playing, I've been playing more Euro Truck Simulator 2, as they got an event going for Valentine's Day. It goes until tomorrow, so still got time to work my way through that. But been driving around Sweden and Finland. I'm trying to get to some of these cities that I've not been to yet, but The available ones that are for the event are not going where I want them to go, so I don't really want to waste time driving all the way up there on a different job. But yeah, that's been that. And then I've been playing some more Vampire Survivors on PS5. That's been pretty good game to have on the portal because it's not going to drain the battery, especially fast compared to any other game. It also requires minimal input for that, so that's been pretty fun jumping into that and trying to figure out like how to unlock all this stuff because that's been a continuous thing. Because at a certain point, when you take a break from that game, you realize there's a shitload of things to do in that. Like trophies wise, I just broke 100 trophies, and then I still have like 140 more to go. Because I have all the DLC. I've barely touched any of the DLC besides the Castlevania one and the ice, the winter map, the stuff that comes with that. But yeah, kind of also one of those kind of games where you go look at the guides for it and you realize they're playing a different game than you are because they're doing, end game stuff like gold farming and all this, and I'm like, I'm just trying to unlock shit. I just unlock the ability to control the music and pick what music I want for the stage for that kind of stuff, and yeah, trying to get all the evolutions and all that stuff done. So yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I am as far well, I'm still playing Donkey Kong Bonanza, and I finished the part where I needed to like do all the Bonanza stuff with the elders. The last one was remarkably easy compared to some of the ones in the previous, 'cause I gotta tell you, at least like the freaking the one involving like the ostrich Bonanza stuff, that one was hard as balls, man. And unlike all the other ones, it's kind of open-ended, and like there's all these different locations you can go to so you can get all these banana gems. And it's very unlike like all the other ones up to that point, which are a lot more straightforward. But this one, the last one involves the snake. It's the snake Bonanza one, where you're essentially just like using sort of the two main abilities that come with that one. One of them is vision, which is where, or trance, which basically just sort of slows down time a little bit. And the second one is, just a high jump, which you have to charge up. Very similar to like the snake character in Donkey Kong Country games, essentially. But it also, you get a double jump from the snake as well. And it's mostly just a matter of keeping your momentum going and, managing to go up areas and managing to keep your location going, all that stuff. It's not terribly complicated. But the last thing that you have to do, and I still have not finished this part. I started it last night, and it was like, you know what? I'm gonna have to sleep on this one because this one's looks like it's gonna be a serious challenge. You go to what? Like I, one of the like, because I've talked a bit a lot about how even for a Nintendo game, this game is extremely weird. One of the things that are like a major factor in this game is like because the whole thing basically takes place underground. There are these like species of eels that, amongst other things, they can essentially sort of move around through like space and time. They kind of act as like your like teleportation type thing that you use in game. And there's one that's sort of like the big giant one over all of them. And the very last thing that you have to do in this game is you have to jump down his windpipe and go through this obstacle course of like thorns and enemies and stuff, and it's just it's hard, and you will die a lot when you're going through it. But yeah, I still the game is amazing, and I'm glad I finally got it. And it's gonna be bittersweet when I finally finish it because, you know, that was the last game I purchased while my mother was still alive. But other than that, I'm also playing Mio, Memories in Orbit. This is a Metroidvania that came out, I think, last month or so. It might have come out like the tail end of December. I can't remember. And it is hard as all get out. Like, it is legitimately one of the most challenging games I've ever played. Essentially, it's a Metroidvania type game. You're playing this little robot who wakes up in what seemingly is like an abandoned colony ship, where there you can't find any humans. You do find plenty of other like robots and artificial intelligences and stuff like that, but they all have either stopped working or they're malfunctioning and going haywire, or their security systems are going overdrive, which is why, you know, the enemies you meet in the game are the ones that are essentially trying to kill you. And even though it's a Metroidvania, it operates like a Souls-like, in the same way that if you die, you have to, you know, go back to the enemy that killed you and try and regain all of your progress. There are areas where you can level up and everything and even see like the world map with it, but you also risk, you know, reviving all the enemies that you had just killed up to that point. You know, if you die a second time while looking for your stuff, you know, it's gone forever. Like, you get the idea. And it is legitimately incredibly difficult. The biggest issue I have with the game, I mentioned earlier about the map thing, that is literally the only time you can actually see like the world map in the game. You can't like go into, you know, your menu or whatever and bring it up or anything. No, you have to be at these various like nodes or whatever where they can help you like upgrade stuff and things like that. And it's a pain in the ass. The other issue is that the level design is like really intricate, which is a good thing. It's cool, but there's a lot of involving like you going through like ducts and collapsed ceiling tiles and stuff like that. So it's honestly, there are times where it's not very consistent on is this an area you can actually go into or not. And also, it's also like the fights themselves are some of them are pretty easy, some of them aren't that easy, you know, but it's not a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. It's actually it's fairly entertaining, but it is very hard. But I absolutely refuse to be beaten by this damn game. I will beat it. Other than that, like that's basically as far as gaming is concerned, what I was involved with. As far as like everything else, you know, books, nothing new there. Also, a bit of a project we had this week is cleaning out the fridge. We had some stuff. We haven't really like gone through the fridge since my mom died, and we had to go in there because we got guests that are coming over, and a friend of my dad's and his girlfriend were here, and she essentially saw the state of the fridge and was like, "No, we gotta help do something with this." So me and her and my dad, we got in there and we started cleaning it out because there was stuff in there that's been in there for like 2 or 3 months and nobody had touched it. It had gotten pretty nasty. Some stuff had broken and juices had leaked out. We had like one of those like storage drawers that you have in a fridge. We had to take out and have it Cloroxed and washed and everything. A bunch of stuff had to go in the trash. And just oh, it was nasty. But we went ahead, went in there and cleaned it out. So it's fine now. But yeah, it was a bit of a struggle, I won't lie. But it's in much better state now than it was, and we got more room for stuff. So that's all well and good. But yeah, that's basically everything for me. Is there anything you want to add before we move on, Chris?
Nope.
All right, then. Well, in that case, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, we're finally going to bring to a close the sort of trilogy, of you, if you will, of the stories of supermarkets that got abandoned with all of their shit inside and it going bad. We started this, of course, a couple weeks ago with the story of the Mexico supermarket in Fort Worth, Texas, which became this sort of oddball internet thing because of just, first of all, the fact that it was just the whole situation itself happening, the fact that it was filmed before the internet as we know it became a thing, and it sort of became like this lost footage type of thing, and people have slowly but surely recovered footage from it, and it just sort of became its own little subculture. And then last week we talked about Seafood City, which was a Filipino chain restaurant. Filipino chain supermarket that where in this particular they had gotten shut down because of health department issues, and they basically left a bunch of seafood to rot and fester inside of there for almost 6 months. This week we're going to cap it off, finally end it, with one that actually does not happen in the United States. This one actually happened up in Canada. And the story behind it is even odder than the first two, because the conflict that sort of started this whole thing in this particular story is still ongoing. It actually hasn't happened. It hasn't ended. Now, like, the prime sort of issue behind it was resolved, but I'll get into it. You'll find out. It's a very odd story, but basically, okay, so this one happened up in North Bay, Ontario, over in Canada. And it actually happened back between October of 2021 to around July of 2022. And essentially, the place was called Bavarian Meat Products Limited. Now, I was not able to find out if this was related to the meat wholesaler, which is also called Bavarian Meat Products, which is in the Pacific Northwest. They actually have a pretty good reputation, apparently. This seems to be a regular ass butcher shop that was like that had a similar name. Because again, Bavarian Meat Products, the other one is primarily in the United States. So totally possible that it's an independent outlet or something like that. But anyway, Bavarian Meat Products. It was a butcher shop. It was on Wallace Road in North Bay, Ontario. And in October of 2021, it had to finally close for business. Now, why this happened is sort of a combination of a monetary dispute and a zoning issue with the local city council. Essentially what happened is there was some financial issues that were coming up with it, and they were trying to work it out with the city. There was also a zoning issue that was involved, because apparently in Ontario, or at least this part of Ontario, there's this like sort of obscure thing where if you're selling meat products, you have to be like in a certain area with certain protocols. And for whatever reason, this place didn't really meet all of them. So they essentially had to lock up shop and disappear. Now, that's sort of the foreword of that story. And all of the previous stories we've talked about, essentially what would happen is the owners would lock the doors with all the shit inside, and then they would just disappear. It happened with a Mexico supermarket in Texas. It happened with Seafood City. And they basically, this, however, is different, because the owners of this particular place still very much around. People know where they are, and the city is still in constant communication with them. But what happened is when these people shuttered this butcher shop and left it, they left behind hooks, freezers, shelves filled with at least 14,000 square feet worth of 20 cubic yard dumpsters of meat to fester and spoil and rot in this place. Now, keep in mind, unlike, with Texas, where you had to deal with that shit with Fort Worth in the summer heat, this was in July in Ontario. Now, it can get hot in Canada. And it got pretty hot in Canada this time, too. And it also got pretty hot in Ontario. But here is the big difference. Mexico, it was 3 months. Seafood City, 6 months. Bavarian meat products was left to fester from 9 months to a year. Oh, yes. And just like with the other two examples, they had to call out a biohazard crew to come and empty this place out. Essentially, they had to hire this company called Windmar Property Restoration. And their team went out there. They got all up in the hazmat suits, the decontamination, all that stuff. And by hand, they had to cart out tons, several tons of rotten, festering, spoiled meat of all kinds. We're talking pork, we're talking beef, we're talking poultry, chicken, duck, venison, more game meat, stuff like that. Just left to fester away in this hot, shuttered little area in Ontario. By the time it was over, they like it, the owner of Windmar Property Restoration, a guy named David Ledosier, he estimated that they filled up about 720 cubic yard dust dumpsters. He was quoted as saying, "I'm certain that people out there have a freezer that died on them, and the contents of that freezer have spoiled." So you get an idea of what that's like. The smells that come across it, the way things start to look after a certain period of time. Except this is about 14,000 square feet worth. So yeah, they had to go in there full PPE, personal protective equipment, chemical resistant, rubber boots, nitrile gloves, under mechanics gloves, all fully taped clothes, face respirators, and the worst part is, as you can imagine, because of all that PPE equipment, these guys all basically had to shower like two or three times after they took that stuff off and left. Not just because of, the sheer awfulness that they were carting out, but also because they were basically sealed into those suits. And as somebody who like had to like wear like a poncho and shit in the middle of a summer storm in Georgia just to like, get carts and stuff back into the store and everything in like middle of like a rainstorm or whatever, you get sweaty and rank in that stuff. Like it is nasty. Now, like I said, the butcher shop was abandoned. It took a little while for people to figure out why. Like I said, it was the zoning and finance issues. Basically, as far as like City Hall is concerned, they basically had to what they called stick handling it between both frustrated neighbors, because like I said, as with the other two instances, the smell gets too bad to handle and it spreads. And then an owner who lived out of town, because like I said, they closed the place, they moved town. Eventually, they had to track him down. But the problem is, because the owner is out of town, they had no jurisdiction. So the city actually had to pay for all this shit themselves. And to this day, and all these years later, they're still like in court trying to get the owners to pay for all this shit. They've tried going under property standards, they've tried going under city bylaw, none of it happened. They're still in court. They had to basically try to shame the property owners by getting the media involved, which is how we kind of know this story happened in the first place. Only kind of worked. And like I said, they're still arguing in court over this shit. Last everyone knows, the spoiled meat got taken to dump site where it was then treated and covered. The guy who owns one of the landfills that the place was dumped at said he estimated it wore about maybe 8 tons more expected to arrive in the coming days. Because when the notes I was taking for this, they were still in the middle of the cleanup. But he basically said you could smell it before it even got here from like half a mile away, and flies were just everywhere. And the transport crews like had to like drive in like pressurized cabins, also wearing PPE because it was that bad. And finally, in 2025, so late last year, it was announced that the property was going to be torn down. So whether or not they finally managed to get the owners to chip in at least somewhat for the effort, I was not able to find out. But that's basically where the info for this story more or less ends. And that is the end of the, I guess we're going to call it the Let's Weekend Supermarkets Gone Bad trilogy. That has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. And with that, we're going to move on from that and bring it to the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we start off with our assholes of the week. And our first two assholes of the week are U.S., Israel, and Iran. U.S. and Israel struck Iran, and then who then in turn launched bases on U.S. attacks on U.S. bases in nearby countries. We still have info about this coming out. We know for one thing that Israel apparently struck a girls' school that killed a bunch of young girls, and that the U.S. is claiming that Ayatollah Khamenei, the up until I guess very recently supreme leader of Iran, is in fact dead. So, Chris, take it away.
Yeah, not a great situation, especially with Trump putting out a message on Truth Social, basically saying like we're gonna keep attacking until there's peace in the Middle East here. They've, you know, this guy was 84 years old, so there's no reason that they didn't have a succession plan. Whatever
Oh
happened
yeah,
here, so.
I'm pretty sure they've had like the Islamic Republic's had like a contingency thing as far back as Ayatollah Khomeini. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's if they you're just killing him isn't really gonna do much of anything. You're gonna have to like if you really want to topple that regime, you basically have to strike it at the root.
Yeah.
But, it's also ends up being possible that we're going to see the same shit that happened with Venezuela, where they just took out Maduro and then called it a day. Well, I mean, they took Maduro and then called it a day. Maduro's still alive, but
Yeah.
yeah, so I mean, like.
Hear very much Trump is talking about sending troops over there and all that. So he put out a really dumb statement where he's like,
Yeah.
I'll have as many of you go there and do the work as needed. A very Lord Farquaad kind of
Yeah.
statement from Shrek, where he's like, many of you will die, but that's the price we pay. Kind of thing, and it's like, yeah. We've seen this shit 20 years ago when
Yeah.
they went to Iraq and did
Yeah.
barely anything, really.
Yeah. The thing I've been hearing is that if they do try to do regime change, what they're probably going to do is they're going to try and put Reza Pahlavi back in there and sort of refound the Shah, because he's, heir to the throne or whatever. And if that leads to like a constitutional monarchy, it would honestly be better than the shit they had to deal with the Islamic Republic. But the reason the Iranian Revolution happened in the first place was because of the last Shah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And it's like it's ridiculous because we've been doing all this while negotiating with them on the nuclear deal.
Yeah.
It's something they've talked about is like what are we doing here
Yeah.
with all this? So yeah. It's a sad situation, but yeah.
It's a sad situation,
Especially
and
the
let's.
school, because I think they said 85 kids have been killed in that.
Yeah. But that's just, I mean, honestly, that's now just kind of par for the course with Israel, unfortunately. This is not unusual for them.
Yeah, unfortunately, we are in charge of that.
Yeah, they tend to go total war whenever they decide to go with war with someone. And anyway, so yeah, that happened. And let's be honest, we all know why this is happening, both for Trump's ego and to distract from the Epstein files.
And also, they want war.
Yeah, they want a war.
Trump wants to look tough.
Yeah, he wants to look tough. It's prime for the course for failing authoritarian regimes. They say,
Yeah.
we're going to go to war with someone, and that'll unite the populace behind us, and we can enact a bunch of emergency measures. But it's a sign of weakness more than anything. Yeah, so that shit happened. And then we go back here to Kansas. They, this week, enacted a new law to invalidate the driver's licenses of transgender individuals and birth certificates because they list their sex as something other than what was assigned at birth.
Yep.
For the record, a whole bunch of trans people got together to file a class action lawsuit against the state of Kansas. So it's
Yeah.
like this has not gone unopposed.
Yeah. And this is basically only for about 1,800 people. I believe they said they expect, Kansas officials expect to cancel about 1,700 driver's licenses and issue new birth certificates for up to 1,800 people. That's literally what this law is affecting, in essence. The bill prohibits documents from listing any sex other than the one assigned at birth and invalidates any that reflect a conflicting gender identity. And basically, they did not assign a, date in the future, like June 1st or July 1st or something like that, when that would go into effect. So it literally would go into effect immediately as people are getting letters. Telling them they need to get their driver's license and birth certificate updated and all that. So yeah, very shitty thing to be doing here. Especially hear a good statement from Rep. Abby Boltman, who's the only transgender person in the Kansas State House, saying it tells me that Kansas Republicans are interested in being on the vanguard of the culture war and in a race to the bottom. And yeah, this also has as part of it that it's like a bathroom bounty that they're calling it, where you can sue people that you suspect are transgender for being in the wrong bathroom, kind of thing. And it's like that's ridiculous. And just to show that the people in the House, the Republicans there, did not give a shit. The governor actually vetoed this bill when it came to their desk, and they had enough people to override that veto, put it into place. So yeah, just lots of great things going on there. There's the Kansas Senate Majority Leader Chase Blasey, saying that voters want to return to common sense on gender. When I go home, people believe they're just two sexes, male and female. It's basic biology I learned in high school. And it's like, yeah, and then we had, new things happen. Like anything, we learn more about these things and that there's a spectrum. I could probably look up this person and see how old they are and say, like, oh, there's a lot of things that have changed since you were in high school. Oh, this person, oh God, Brandon. This guy was born in 1994. So they might have gotten one of those school books that just wasn't updated for things. But yeah, that's a shitty person right there. So great stuff going on in Kansas. So yeah, another state that trans people should try to get out of if they can. Because certainly if this gets stopped, they're not going to just give up. They're going to find new ways to make these people's lives hell for something that honestly doesn't matter on a driver's license. Because you can literally pick anything for a lot of the stuff you put on there. And they're not going to sit there and measure your heights or your weight or anything. You can just say whatever you want, even if it's not the gender on there also doesn't matter. It's, in fact, it's stupid because it should. The reason why they take their picture and all is because it's to represent what you look like on an average day. So if you're a trans woman or man, it should say what you're actually are.
Yeah, not exactly, just again, like with all the culture war stuff, it's just stupid performative bullshit. But yeah. So then we move over back over to DC to the House where House Representative for the GOP, Tony Gonzalez, is facing pressure to resign after an affair with a staffer who later committed suicide.
This guy has been on TV in the past, few months, defending Trump and all that. But he's facing pressure from within his own party to resign because, this is an awful situation. At least five House Republicans have called on him to either resign or end his bid for re-election after explicit text messages surfaced from him to his then employee, who later died after setting herself on fire. This is even Lauren Boebert and Nancy Mace have called on him to resign. When you've got them against you. You've really fought. Lauren Boebert, who is so stupid, she was in the meeting with Hillary Clinton, took a picture with her name sign right in the picture, showing who exactly took it and sent it out to some third party. But not exactly the smartest people.
Nope. No, they are not. And also just morally depraved, let's be honest. But then we move over to ICE, still doing bullshit. They used a fake story about being cops looking for a missing child. In other words, they impersonated, actual law enforcement to get to a Columbia-owned residence so they could kidnap and arrest a student who was later released after the New York City mayor met with Trump. Yes, you can more or less thank Zoran Mondatti for getting this kid released. And honestly, at this point, this is like two for two now that he's managed to do this.
Which is awful that they have to resort to this, but just doing blatantly illegal shit.
He is the Trump whisperer, basically. He has figured out exactly how to manipulate the guy so he can get what he wants out of him.
Though I think Trump just wants to get some of the riz off of Zoran Mamdani
Oh,
onto
yeah.
him, and it's like that's not gonna happen. But as long as you're smitten, use them to do some stuff for you.
Yeah, I mean, he ain't gonna be around much longer anyway, so.
This is just an awful situation. Luckily, Mamdani was in D.C. to visit Trump and all that, and able to get them out, but just more shit, and it's gonna mean that Columbia needs to have a talk with their security about dealing with all this. Because it's not a new thing for ICE impersonating cops, and cops don't like it because it further erodes the trust that we'll have or don't have in them, so that they can't trust that the cops that are pull them over for whatever reason, or talking to them, are the real deal. So yeah.
And then last for the assholes, the Scouts organization, that was formerly the Boy Scouts, it's now just the Scouts, reached a deal with the Pentagon to drop their quote-unquote woke policies to keep partnership going. Now, whether or not they're actually going to do that is.
Yeah, because they talk about that here, and then I don't know, but P.
Yeah.
Hegseth Seth has been complaining about this on a social media, and so Scouting America basically made a deal with them, Yeah, he put heavy emphasis on scouting America's acceptance of transgender youth, saying the organization will require members to use their biological sex at birth and not gender identity. But Scouting America, formerly known as the Boy Scouts of America, said the agreement does not change existing policies regarding transgender youth and that they are welcome. Basically saying that they already, like, one of the things was literally just only having male or female on their sign up sheets and whatnot, and they were saying like we already do that. So group would clarify that youth of opposite genders assigned at birth cannot share bathrooms, tents, or other similar spaces. It's what Hegseth wants. But the guy
Yeah,
here said the
because
group's
he.
application already only has two boxes and that they were already asking about sex assigned at birth. He didn't offer clarity on how that was reviewed or enforced, and it's like, yeah, so you're like they're making quote unquote changes, but how much of that is already things that they already did or don't need to do, or whatever, versus what's actually new. But yeah, they're threatening to pull support, and I didn't really realize there was more than 100 years of support for between the two groups. I guess that's what the jamboree is a big deal for.
The thing you have to remember about scouting until fairly recently, it was like an actual like cultural touchstone over here in the US, and it had a huge like connection to the military industrial complex. And yeah, the Jamborees thing is like they have like army recruiters and stuff over there. Other thing you also have to know about the Scouts up until recently, they were mostly owned by the Mormons.
Which not great.
No, not great.
One of those groups that has had a long history of sexual abuse and all that to the point that they had to go bankrupt a few years ago to try to get out of paying for all the money they were owing to the victims.
And the cover-ups too, let's not forget that.
Yeah.
And of course, just the general fact that they were just culturally incredibly behind the times compared to the Girl Scouts,
Yeah.
who had like they had like they had caught up with the times like decades before
Yeah.
the Boy Scouts did on most of those issues, to the point that the Boy Scouts looked like an absolute relic and still to a certain extent are,
Yeah.
which is kind of the reason why scouting, the whole sort of subculture of scouting has been sort of continuously shrinking over the last 25 years. Because it's just, like, I'm not saying that, the scouts don't necessarily teach good skills. They do, but there are other places you can get those skills from.
Yeah, it's an organization that's like you're teaching a lot of like camping in a sense, which is like not many people go camping as much as they used to, especially these days when a lot of places are being shut down or sold off or
Shut
whatever.
down, sold off, paved over, and also camping equipment is just expensive.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Costs have gone up exponentially over the last
Yeah.
decade, and you know why. But yeah, so that's happened. That is the end of the Assholes of the Week. Unfortunately, it's not all terrible because we do have at least one hero of the week, and that hero is none other than Flava Flav. Yes, Flava Flav. The famous hype man, probably the OG hype man of hip hop himself, and turns out multi-instrumentalist as well. No joke, the dude can play like 13 different instruments. It's crazy. Yeah, so you guys know that, the US women's hockey team was they had a big championship that they won. Basically, even though they're traditionally invited to the White House after such a victory, Trump just sort of snubbed them and said, "Nope, you can't. You're no visit to the White House." So Flavor Flav, of all people, stepped in and said, "Hey, I'm going to host an event in Vegas in July, and you can celebrate there, and you can bring other people, and we'll bring some other female athletes and stuff." And I was like,
Yeah.
"All right, that is very decent for Flavor Flav."
Yeah, he is one of the biggest supporters of the Olympic teams.
Yeah.
He constantly goes to every Olympics and is like when people don't have the money to bring their their equipment and all that, like the funding the lack of funding that people going to the Olympics don't have for things, he's often willing to pony up
Oh yeah.
and help them out with that kind of stuff, which is awesome. Shouldn't have to be done. We should be fully funding all that, considering they're representing the country.
Yeah.
But he has been one to do that, and here he's been after hearing that the women's team was not really invited to the White House. If you saw the video of them in the locker room, the men's team with Trump, and like joking, like, "Oh, if we invite you, we're gonna have to invite the women," and everybody laughing like it was the funniest thing. Even though it's not a joke, it's just him being shitty like he always is. The women, any of the women's team members were like, "Yeah, we're not gonna do that anyway, even if you do invite us," which they ended up inviting them anyway, and so they turned it down. But yeah, he said, he offered to hold an event. Looks like it's going to be July 16th to the 19th. She Got Game weekend event, partnership with MGM Resorts. Yeah, saying it was being held to honor the women's hockey team and other female athletes. With details to follow. So yeah, that's cool to see. Yeah, the. No idea how many of the people are going to be able to, since it's so far ahead in the calendar that they may have other things going on, but I imagine most of them will make time for it.
Oh yeah. So
Yeah.
yeah. Really cool of him. And yeah, so that is the end of the show proper. We're now going to move on to the proper show proper. And our first big story from the night is sadly Mr. Robert Carradine passed away this week. Mr. Carradine, I think a lot of us, if you grew up like I did, you know him as one of the stars of the Revenge of the Nerds movies. Which is a series that maybe has not aged all that well in certain aspects. It is very much a product of its time. But it's still got some pretty funny stuff in there too. And of course, he was also a constant on Lizzie McGuire on the Disney Channel for a while, for a long time. So,
Yeah, he was the dad there, so I
yeah.
never really put two and two that was the same guy from that, because I watched a decent bit of Lizzie McGuire.
And sadly, this was not a natural death. He apparently took his own life. He had struggled with bipolarity for a long time. And he, I guess, he just couldn't take the pain anymore.
His daughter wrote here on Instagram, "This one hurts. It's really hard to face this reality about an old friend." Or no, Hillary Duff wrote this. "There was so much warmth in the McGuire family, and I always felt so cared for by my on-screen parents. I'll be forever grateful for that. I'm deeply sad to learn Bobby was suffering. My heart aches for him, his family, and everyone who loved him." And yeah, the other cast on that show also sending good wishes for him, his family, and all that. And yeah, sad way to go. But yeah.
He was 71 when he passed. It's not often that a person can become like a cultural touchstone twice like he did. Both, being part of one of the quintessential comedies of the 80s, and also be, a major starring role in a very popular TV show. That doesn't happen for a lot of actors, and he managed to pull it off. But yeah, it sucks what happened to him. But mental illness is no joke.
Yep.
But yeah, we're going to go ahead and close that out there, and we're going to move on to the rest of the show. We're now going over to the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, where the men's hockey team for the United States won the gold for the first time in 46 years, and they managed to do it in overtime, too.
Yeah, not since the Miracle on Ice
Yeah, way
against
back in 1981, I think it was.
1980.
1980, all right.
When they faced off against the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
But yeah, that great win, and the team celebrated and honored one of their former members, Johnny Gaudreau, who passed away in a terrible accident last year, and
Yeah.
had the family with them to help celebrate and honor his legacy and all that. And then they decided after the game to shit on everybody that was happy for them
Yeah.
by directly associating with people
Cash
at the White
Patel.
House.
Yeah. And then Cash Patel showed up in their locking room where he guzzled down champagne. And apparently, he got there via FBI jet to do it.
Yeah, one of the two jets I guess they have. So yeah, that was a fun whole thing. And apparently he's a huge like rec league hockey player kind of guy, and apparently has a long-standing thing like Sundays are his hockey days, so he's not to be bothered on Sundays for anything.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of guy that he is. And yeah, people don't like this use of the jet for that instead of paying his own way. It's like not that hard to do. But yeah, apparently he likes to use this jet for his own needs, and it's been apparently an issue for a bit. Apparently there was, I forget what investigation they were in need of the jet for something, but he was using it for his own personal thing. So that's fun to see. So yeah, he made an ass out of himself in the locker room, so there you go.
And then White House then decided to up the ante and release a TikTok of one of the players calling Canadians a slur because, of course, you know. By the way, I need to point this out because a lot of people don't realize this. The White House is pretty much all of its social media is run by this one dude, Stephen Chung, who looks like if Humpty Dumpty was a person. So, if you're ever wondering, like, what, how the who the fuck is doing it, it's him. It's all him. And if you see a picture of him, let's just say it won't make you quite as angry every time it happens, because you'll realize that this walking, thumb of a man is essentially projecting all of his insecurities on everyone else.
So yeah, the most of the American team was at the White House, where they were fed burgers from I don't know which fast food place, but there's a fun video of that of them just sitting there eating burgers. And it's like, good job, guys, you got used by the White House. And apparently, I put up a TikTok video of Brady Tkachuk that had fabricated audio of him referring to Canadians as maple syrup eating, and then the gay slur bleeped out. Yeah, the video has a note saying it contains AI generated media. As he said, it's clearly fake because it's not my voice and not my lips moving. I'm not in control of any of those accounts. I know those words would never come out of my mouth. I think if you liked the video, he said, I would never say that. That's not. And it's like, yeah, you associate with these people. This is what is going to. He also denied being the voice heard shouting, close the northern border, during the Team USA's celebratory phone call with the US president. Which is great. It's going to really add to the tensions for returning to the NHL because yeah, Canadian players already don't like Trump and any of that shit. Now they know which of the US team very much does support that stuff, and They can. They're certainly take it out on them
Yeah.
when they want to. So yeah, there are definitely some of the players that, like, regret going and doing that stuff. Like, yeah, would have been nice if you did that much earlier, especially in response to them, laughing for the Trump joke about, I will have to invite the women and nobody will like that kind of thing. So yeah, you got in bed with these people and you have to deal with all the baggage that comes with it. So
Yep.
enjoy that.
Yeah. And then we found out this bit, because everything these days about Mr. Beast is incredibly shady. And it just got a little bit shadier, because it turns out that Kalshi, who is a, let's see, like a,
One of the betting prediction
yeah,
sites
prediction
things.
market platforms, they have actually brought an insider trading case against one of his editors.
I don't know what the fuck you're betting on there. That he's gonna do a video or I don't know what, but it's certainly a combination of words I never would have expected to have ever happened. But yeah, an editor who works for Mr. Beast has been suspended from the prediction market platform Kalshi and reported to federal regulators for insider trading. First time the company has publicly revealed the results of an investigation into market manipulation. Yeah, traded around $4,000 on markets relating to the streamer. And yeah, they've discovered that he had near perfect trading success on bets about the YouTuber's videos, with low odds making the wagers appear suspicious. It's like, yeah, of course that would look suspicious, but people bet hundreds of thousands of dollars on what he will say in his next video. There are markets on the number of subscribers he'll bring on this year, and people are betting on when exactly Mr. Beast will get married. Jesus, that's sure is a waste of money. Like, the only sure bets, I think, is for Polymarket is like, well, Jesus Christ, come back. The resurrection, when's that gonna happen? And they're like, that's a good stable bet. Turns on every year, and it's like, that's a very dumb thing to bet on, but I guess that's a thing you can rely on. Well, it magically doesn't work out. Have bigger things to worry about than your fucking bet. So yeah, there you go.
So yeah, then we go to some science news. NASA, they launched a probe to study the moon about a year ago, and then lost contact a day after launch.
Yeah, kind of found out what happened with that. This was called Lunar Trailblazer. Lifted off from Kennedy Space Center in Florida on February 26 last year. Mission was to map the water on the moon, but a day after launch, mission managers lost contact with the spacecraft and was never heard from again. And yeah, we've learned how this went down. Software that was supposed to point the spacecraft's solar panels towards the sun instead pointed them 180 degrees away from the sun. In addition, the panel found many erroneous onboard fault management actions that, taken together with the solar panel pointing error, caused the Lunar Trailblazer failure. So yeah, it's a fun whole thing. They got the document here if you want to learn more about what happened there. Yeah, like a cascading series of errors that, upon being able to not being able to keep itself charged, ends up being a big issue on this kind of thing. So yeah, Lockheed Martin was the one that built this spacecraft. NASA says they did not properly test the solar panel pointing software before launch. Mission managers might have been able to fix that problem, but other software issues made it at first difficult and ultimately impossible to fix the pointing error. So that's fun.
Yeah, that's so much fun. And then we got this news that Anthropic is taking on the Pentagon because the Department of Defense is trying to get them to loosen restrictions And in the meantime, Trump has ordered that the U.S. government stop using their AI tools.
Yeah, kind of in the wake of this, OpenAI has taken whatever contract Anthropic had. But yeah, they were basically using this stupid thing where they wanted the Anthropic to drop the safety rails that are on this thing. Anthropic's CEO insisted that they must not be used for mass surveillance or to power entirely autonomous weapons, such as drones and such, that would use AI to kill targets without human approval. Described those as entirely illegitimate. It says they're bright red lines for the company. The Pentagon says they don't want to use it for those things, but they say that it's not up to a contractor like Anthropic to make decisions about how its technology is used. It says AI companies, including Anthropic, need to allow the U.S. government to use their tools for lawful purposes however they want. It's like, boy, that sure seems like you really want to use it for those things without, breaking the terms of their deal kind of thing. So Anthropic kind of just stayed the course on this until Trump and Pete Hegseth decided they don't want that they were going to cancel their deals and essentially try to give them the specific kind of label that would make them like a security risk kind of thing and potentially harm the company's ability to do business in the future. Which is fun. OpenAI is like stepped in claiming the same thing. They're like, oh, we're not gonna allow you to do this and this, and even posted like the specific terms for that stuff, and then people see like so this allows them to do that. But yeah.
Exactly.
So
So
yeah, pretty fun.
that is shady as fuck. And then we found out this week that a Florida man managed to steal $40,000 worth of trading cards via taco seasoning packets.
Yeah. Ingenious. There's apparently a guy that was suspected of, pulling an organized retail fraud scheme at multiple Target locations between Miami and Orlando. Stole thousands of dollars worth of trading cards using 99-cent taco seasoning packets. I assume he essentially opened them up and hid the card packs in them. That seems like the case. He's been charged with counts of felony organized retail theft, three counts of felony dealing in stolen property, and one count of felony money laundering. And he has sold these cards on eBay, generating almost $40,000 in revenue. Probably sold them all on the same account, making it real easy for them to line all this up. Instead of, having different accounts. To spread it out, but yeah, sold them for about $40,000 in revenue. The thefts resulted in a loss of over $10,000, so still making a profit there. But yeah, faces up to 90 years in prison if convicted on all accounts. So yeah, Florida man again at it.
And now we're moving into the entertainment portion of the show, and we're starting out with Paramount Skydance, that ongoing saga about Warner Brothers Discovery. They have offered, they're putting up $111 billion to acquire Warner Brothers Discovery, and Netflix has officially bowed out.
Yeah. So yeah, the worst scenario happened that they would up their offer in a significant way that would get Warner Brothers Discovery to essentially recommend that deal. So the people that have been that are in Hollywood like saying like though the Netflix deal's bad for the industry. Now they're gonna experience the really bad outcome of this when you have one of the major studios acquiring another major studio. And guess what? They don't need two studios. They don't need two sets of all this stuff. There's gonna be a bloodbath because they're essentially gonna have, $100 billion of debt to claw back through all of this, and been frustrating seeing people in the industry like James Cameron was rooting against Netflix, and it's like he's a fucking idiot. Good director, but he's stupid at everything else. But yeah, that's gonna be fun to see. They're now offering $31 per share for this, and Netflix canceled out, got their whatever $2.5 billion for the deal cancellation fee paid off by Paramount. Essentially, their stock shot up because they were not taking on this huge load of extra stuff. That was going to be part of their whole financial situation, but now that's all Paramount Skydance, who is going to have to deal with all this shit, and it's like, it seems like a house of cards kind of thing.
Which is, I heard someone suspect the reason that Netflix decided to bow out is because they looked at what Paramount's financial situation was like and they thought, you know what, we could wait this out and then we could buy both of them at a cheaper price.
I mean, they could just buy up the Warner Brothers assets they would be interested in. Because yeah, this is just gonna be a fun whole thing. It's gonna go through regulatory stuff, which at least in the US here may just fly right through for no real reason. But yeah, this not really hugely surprising, but is still a bad outcome in all this. So you're gonna have a huge part of the Trump network owning all of the Warner Brothers Discovery stuff. All your DC stuff is gonna be Trump affiliated. All that fun stuff. Gonna be great for all of that. CNN's gonna get ruined even more. They're gonna get the Barry Weiss treatment from it'd be funny if they put her in charge of that as well. They're essentially trying to ruin any sort of liberal media, for as much as that's not really the case for been for the case for a long time. But yeah, gonna be great to see how this all works out. There you go.
And speaking of Paramount, they have a new G.I. Joe reboot in the works with Max Landis writing the script.
Yeah, that Max Landis, the one who was one of the bigger names in the Me Too allegations. Apparently, they're also have another pitch going on with Danny McBride doing some G.I. Joe thing. And it's like, boy, you haven't really seen what the movies have been like for G.I. Joe the last, like, whatever 10, 15 years they've been trying at it. And they've all been terrible. So yeah, Max Landis is doing the script for a new movie. Danny McBride also doing one, I guess, and maybe one of those will work out, maybe one won't. I don't know. But they're certainly doing this because they're, American military figures. And that would look good to Trump. So great. This shit's awful.
Then we found out the BAFTA Film Awards involved an unfortunate situation with a man with Tourette's syndrome. So there are like a lot of neurological issues. Tourette's is on a spectrum and it affects different people differently. Most people are aware of the verbal kind, where people have these intrusive thoughts and they have the inability to not vocalize them. And unfortunately, that's kind of what happened here. And if you're thinking, what could a person say to cause such an issue? It's exactly what you think it is.
He has the verbal one. I forget what it's specifically called. Like caporala, something like that. Caporalia. And he was there because there was a film about his, journey with Tourette's and advocation for, acceptance and all that kind of stuff. It's an inspiring story, and I've heard the movie's pretty good too. But he ended up leaving partway through the event. Because yeah, he has these tics, and it essentially kind of erases that part of your brain that knows all the slurs and curse words and such, and knows not to use them.
Yep.
most of the time, and these ticks are very involuntary that just throws them out at the wrong times. That's really indicative of the kind of person you are. It's just like,
Yeah, like I said, it's basically they aren't able to, compartmentalize intrusive thoughts and keep them in their heads.
yeah, and so when a few of the people that worked on Sinners got up on stage, I think one of the writers, as well as when Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo were on stage to present an award, he shouted the N-word, which is, an awful thing to do. He's talked about it, saying, he feels really badly about it, and has tried to contact the studio to kind of get a message to them to apologize for it. He says here, "I chose to leave the auditorium early into the ceremony as I was aware of the distress my tics were causing." That's also part of this whole thing, is that it essentially starts isolating you in public because you are, hyper aware of the awful things you're saying and how uncomfortable that's making people, and you just remove yourself from public life in a sense to avoid harming other people. So yeah, there's one of the production designer Hannah Beck Beechler, who was, posting that it happened 3 times at night. One of the 3 times was directed at myself on the way to dinner after the show. Saying, "I know we must handle this with grace and continue to push through." What made the situation worse was the throwaway apology of, if you're offended at the end of the show, like, Alan Cummings was, or Cumming was the host and was like, offering up, apologies and that's whenever it happened, but really should have maybe done more for that. But that's a rough situation to be put in. Probably the only people that did the worst thing here was the BBC, who aired the event. They had it's a tape delay, like 2 hour tape delay. They censored other stuff, like somebody saying "Free Palestine," and some of his other tics. But the one where he's shouting the N-word when Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo were on stage did not get censored. And it's like,
Nope.
that's convenient. So yeah, that's partly one of the big issues here, is like, you had this tape delay, but you didn't censor all of the, like, if you see the video, it's pretty obvious it's there. Like, the people recording this whole thing should have had, timestamps, stamps on these kind of things, but must not have been paying that much attention. So yeah, that's kind of the only group here that is in the wrong here. But yeah, it's one of those things, awful on both sides. Black actors and producers and all that should not have to deal with it, but also, somebody with Tourette's has no control over that stuff, so one of those things. Nobody really wins.
No. And last but not least, the Criterion Collection has announced that K-pop Demon Hunters and Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein will be joining the collection.
Yeah, which is a big surprise. They tend to be not like hoity-toity, but they tend to go for the more traditional kind of films that are, cinema as cinema versus the poppy stuff, which has not always been the thing, because, like, famously, like, Armageddon was on there, and The Rock, some big action movies type stuff, which then they've removed them, and, like, we never did. I don't, people can find them, but like, just own it rather than act like it wasn't a thing that you did or anything. But yeah, people will be able to actually get physical versions of this later this year. I don't know if they have a time frame yet, but they tend to be some of the best physical releases you can get for any of these movies. They'll have a bunch of extra features and all that kind of stuff. So I might get the K-pop Demon Hunter release, and be able to enjoy that anytime. So yeah, there you go. Some good news. One bit of good news in entertainment.
Yeah. But with that, we have officially reached the end for tonight. I do believe we have got ourselves a show. Yes, we do. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, if you on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, RSS, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if you find one we're not on, just, you know, give it a few minutes. We will show up there eventually. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and end it there. Thank you, Chris, once again, for joining me on this little endeavor. All of you out there who are listening, if you enjoy what you hear, if you're someone, even if you're someone who either just discovering us for the first time or someone who's been with us over the past decade that I've been doing this, please do not hesitate to share us with your friends, your family, your casual acquaintances, your mortal enemies, your co-workers, and everyone in between. Because they may hate you, but there's a 50% chance that I'll end up mixing up that whole group of people another weird way. Because honestly, it changes from week to week, and I'm just realizing now that I can't keep track of any of this shit. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and end it here. Join us next week for some more crazy shit. We may or may not be in World War III. We'll see. But until then, good night, everybody.